Well, the last time UConn tasted a loss, it was the Creighton Blue Jays, and Creighton ran them out of the building, 85-66. The leading scorer for Creighton in that game was none other than Stephen Ashworth, who had 20 points in that game, and Stephen joins us now. You miss chatting with me, Stephen. Be honest. You miss these conversations. How are you, man?
Absolutely, I miss them. I'm doing well, though, but it's good to hear your voice, for sure.
That's great to have you on, Stephen. We've missed you around these parts. I mean, you've been doing some great things, but we certainly miss you out here, and it's great that you could jump on for a few minutes and talk about handing what seems to be an invincible team a pretty big loss. Just take us back to that game and what you did specifically in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it was months ago at this point, but it was definitely a super fun atmosphere, a great game at home. And I think heading into that game, we knew that personally, we at Creighton matched up really well with the personnel that they had. And if we executed the game plan, we would have a chance. And that's what you hope for with great teams, is that you're giving yourself a chance. And we felt like when we went to their place and played, in Gamble Pavilion, we didn't really give ourselves a chance. We had too many turnovers, too many offensive rebounds. And so when we got them at our place, I think that those are some of the things that we controlled. And then it always helps to shoot a good percentage behind the three-point line.
Well, you certainly did that in that game, but what is it about UConn that makes this team so special? I mean, you've seen them up close and in person several times. So, I mean, they're a juggernaut right now. Nobody's really coming close to them. What is it about this team that is making them so dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, they're really motivated. I think that you've seen it from whether it's social media posts or other things that they use a lot of what is said about them or about their opponents to their advantage. And that's the kind of motivation tactics they have. And so when they come out into a game, you notice it, that they have a chip on their shoulder, even though they might have been the number one ranked team in the country. They play a lot of the games like they're the underdog. And I think that's a great attribute of their team and their personnel that they have, that is able to have that mindset when you've had such a dominant performance time and time again. And so they're really good at that, just the mindset of the game. And then I also, you got to give them credit to the fact that they're a physical and athletic team that can make a lot of plays on both ends of the floor, whether it's blocking shots at the rim with Klingon or deflecting passes out on the perimeter with Newton and Castle, and then getting out in transition. And it's a really complete ball club. And, I think we had a very complete ball club at Creighton too. And that's why we were able to give them their most recent loss, which was all the way in January.
So, Stephen, when you guys make a nice run, beat Akron, you beat Oregon and find Tennessee, very tough Tennessee team, and bumped out of the tournament. Are you the kind of guy that stays focused and laser locked and likes to watch the tournament through, or do you disconnect and cut out?
Yeah, I mean, personally for me, I just love watching basketball. So I'm always interested in the games that are happening. And I don't have a preference on who wins it now, obviously, because I was hoping to win it. But now that there's no chance at that, it's just fun. It's entertainment for me. It's learning for me. I always like watching different schemes. And then obviously knowing the UConn scouting report, I'm watching all the plays they're running and seeing how teams are defending them, and maybe making some mental notes of how I would guard it differently if I was in the game. But it's fun for me. I keep watching and I enjoy the tournament. I think it's the best thing we have in sports. So although it's disappointing that we're not playing today, it's still fun to watch.
Well, I saw a good dose of Zach Edey in person, and that dude is just a monster to watch play live, and is just a man among boys. But you've seen Klingon as well, and obviously this is going to be the biggest test that Edey has seen so far in the tournament. How do you see that matchup going?
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating one. I felt like a lot of people were reaching out to me to ask about what the DJ Burns and Zach Edey matchup would be like, and my personal opinion of that was that basically – and I think that Klingon's got a different set of skills on the defensive end that will put Edey in some different positions. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing the matchup of that, and just also seeing the scheme and the game plan of, is UConn going to double? Or are they going to swarm the different coverages that they could put on Edey? Because one-on-one with anybody, I think that there's going to be a hard time stopping them. But if anybody's got a chance, I'd say number one in the country is my man Ryan Kalkbrenner, and the number two option is Klingon. And so I think it'll be a really good matchup for him. And if they can guard him one-on-one with Klingon, I think that it'll take a lot of three-point jump shots away, which I think, Scotty G, you saw firsthand with having to double-team him, how easy he can just pass it back out. So it'll be interesting. But that's what I kind of think, is that if they can guard him one-on-one, I think it's to UConn's advantage. If they have to double, then I think that Edie's going to have a lot of opportunities to score and to then play make for his teammates.
Hey, Stephen, I wanted to go back just a little bit and where you've now moved in and been a part of that Creighton team and got out of the state of Utah for a bit. When you think back to your time at Lone Peak and your development at prep school here in Utah and what you've learned and then what you've seen out of the state of Utah, how much did Lone Peak or how much did high school basketball here in the state prepare you for what you would see in comparatively to maybe what you've seen as you've grown a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I personally think that Lone Peak was the best opportunity for me to prepare, and I felt like I played in a lot of meaningful games throughout my high school career, which has prepared me for the big stage that I'm now on at Creighton. And it's it allows me to reference back to those moments. But then also we went to Geico Nationals. We played in the Hoop Hall Classic, some of those invitational tournaments as a public high school, and got to play against the guys like RJ Barrett and all those, number one draft pick type of guys. And so now coming to a place like Creighton, I think it's prepared me well to be able to match up against those guys that are maybe more physical, more athletic, and then also continue to just hone in and develop the skill set that I've developed over the years throughout high school and into college that have made me the player that I am. And so I think that throughout prep school, it's given me that confidence, if nothing else, that I've done it before, that I've been here before, and that I can keep doing it. And I think that I saw that as the season went on and the season got deeper, I felt like I got even more and more confident and comfortable in my situation and role that I was in.
So talk about your year at Creighton. Obviously, it's an adjustment. It's a new place, new teammates, new coaching staff, everything that came along with it. How do you feel like it went? Because it felt like as the season went on, you just, the numbers just got better and better as it seemed like you got more comfortable with your surroundings.
Yeah, I definitely think you can look at it from the outside perspective and see pretty clearly how the evolution and the development of my game individually started to flourish at Creighton and under the tutelage of Coach McDermott and a lot of other coaches and support staff and then my teammates that I'm around on a daily basis. And that was the thing of why Creighton was so appealing, is that obviously I had been through a lot of different head coaches in my time at Utah State, and the stability that I wanted just wasn't quite there. And unfortunately, we saw it again this year again with the Aggies having another new coaching change. And that's kind of the way that college basketball is at the moment. But to be able to go to a place where Coach McDermott had been there for a lot of years, had established the culture, and I understood exactly what I was getting into. I felt like there were some times early on where it was, okay, a little bit harder than I thought to transfer, to adjust to a new offense, a new scheme, even though I felt like I had kind of already transferred within Utah State's program once or twice with different coaches that I was playing under. But just the familiarity of my role changing from being a guy that had been a consistent player at Utah State to then being the new guy was something that I had to kind of navigate. And I think that as the season prolonged, and for anybody, I think if you look at any transfer situation, the player's second year as the transfer at that school is much better than their first. Guys like Mark Sears, like Baylor Shire, like you see it as the year goes on. Dalton Connect was an example of the contrary. He just flourished in his first year. And so sometimes it is that way, and then sometimes it takes a little time to develop. But I was really proud of the way that I was able to navigate the transfer process, and I'm really looking forward to this next season, wherever it takes me. And the decisions haven't quite been made on whether to go through the draft process and just get some assessments and see where I'm at or not, but just looking forward to the next season.
Well, that was my next question, Stephen, because you came back from a mission.
You have your COVID year, right?
I do. Yeah, so I have another year of eligibility left in the tank, and so obviously I've already seen all the memes of how I'm being recruited by Liberty Mutual and other insurance programs. But at the moment, I'm still focused on getting some playing time. So still playing on the court. So we'll see what happens.
You know, that's got to be a difficult decision. You know, I played in college in a time of non-NIL, non-collective, non-money-making. So it was easy when eligibility was there. It was like, no, you go to the league and go to make money. But now there's money to be had out there, Stephen. How much does that sway people's decisions nowadays in college sports? And how much do you think that's changing a team's ability to stay unified and kind of spend more time together?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic that we have going on in college sports. And I think I probably have more opinions about it than most just because I'm in the thick of it. I'm studying business in school, and so I understand a lot of the logistical measures about what's going on financially. But it's a really different landscape, and I think it's great for the college game. I think the college basketball level is increasing. I think you could look across the country this year and see so many talented teams across the board. And a lot of it is because there was once guys that were probably taking a chance to go to the league that are now coming back because they can basically have a guaranteed contract in their NIL and with their collective, as opposed to maybe taking a risk and only getting something like a G League contract or a two-way contract in the NBA. And so it kind of gives that safety net for a lot of these players that can go and test the waters and then come back and basically know exactly what they're getting themselves into with a coaching staff that they're familiar with. And so I think it's beneficial to the game. I do think there's a lot of things that will need to be changed because the NCAA has just shifted the pressure of paying athletes to the donors instead of themselves, which I think is wrong, but that's going to eventually change as well. You don't get to host a billion-dollar tournament and not pay the athletes for it. Eventually that's going to change. So, but then again, I think it's the most important thing in college athletics right now because you see coaches taking pay cuts to go to programs that have bigger NIL pools because they understand that the NIL is what's going to get them the athletes and eventually help them win. And so, like, I think you see what happened with Coach Calipari to Arkansas. That's an interesting move to some, but if you understand the NIL landscape, it's a very easy thing to figure out. So it's fascinating, but I think that it's good for the athletes, and I think that ultimately the level of play is increasing because talented guys are staying more and more years.
Stephen Ashworth joining us right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. As you can tell, Stephen's got a career in the media once he hangs up the sneakers, but he's also smart enough to know that that's not a really good business move for him personally. So that being said, Stephen, I want you to put the media hat on, pretend like you're one of us dopey talking heads, and break down tonight's game. How do you see it playing out? And if you're comfortable putting on the looking into the crystal ball, how do you think it plays out?
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to circle back and give any team motivation or whatever that I'm talking about. I don't think there's enough publicity on this single moment, but I'd probably say that Klingon's going to do a pretty good job solidifying his opportunity to take Edie one-on-one, which will give obviously some buckets to Edie in the paint, but at the same time allow the perimeter defenders to stay true to their mans. And I think that that's going to really slow down Purdue's offensive firepower. And then on the defensive end, I think that UConn has many weapons that Purdue might struggle to guard with some of their perimeter defenders. And so I can see it in the first half, really kind of the teams feeling each other out, might be struggling shooting percentage just because guys are going to be able to stay back to their man without giving wide open 3-point attempts. And so I'd probably say in the first half, expect probably 5 to 7 point game with UConn up maybe 35, 28, and then maybe pulling away. But at the end, I'd probably say UConn by 10 tonight.
There he is.
Don't hate it, man. It's a good breakdown. That's going to be a fun big man matchup, though. I know that.
Hey, by the way,
it definitely will.
Guess who's going to be welcome to the Fatherhood Club here pretty soon?
Oh no,
Stephen! Congratulations, man.
Good for you, bud.
Thank you. Yep, I can't wait. Payson and I are super excited. We got a baby boy coming in June, and we can't wait.
Well, that
great timing for us as a family, so it's awesome.
That collective has never been more important.
So here's the first
commercial. Right.
Here's a new commercial. Hey, I'm Stephen Ashworth, and when I needed a crib, I went to blah blah blah. Like you got now you see that's an untapped market like for athletes.
It really is.
So there you go.
Yeah, there's not a, and especially in Omaha, I'm sure there's not a lot of student athletes that are talking about cribs and rocking chairs and yeah. what type of vehicle they trust their newborn to be
when,
driving.
When
in.
We so got our first minivan.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Well, the other
we
thing,
trust Chrysler. Just kidding.
The other thing, I don't know how many athletes out there are influenced by the type of insurance that's offered. It's like, I think I'll stay. What does your birthing plan look like?
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be fun. I think the NIL opportunities are going to be coming in for Peyton and our son more than they are for me this next year, which I'm not complaining about.
No,
so
no, sir.
It'll be fun.
Hey, you're the best, man. Tell the family hi. It's been a while since I've chatted with your parents, but tell them hi for me, and let's catch up soon.
Absolutely. Well, great to hear from you guys, and thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
You too, got it.
Steven Ashworth, right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.